When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100 megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome sales event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome sales event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Nobody in Kansas City has sports like 96.5 The Fan.
Right side throw, touchdown! Kansas City! A 3-yard touchdown pass in overtime! Kansas City wins the game!
Welcome into The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
Back-to-back best sports talk host as voted on in the Pitch magazine.
Live from the Fan Studios, here's CDOT.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison. Excited to be here with you guys on this wonderful, wonderful Friday. This is one of the best weekends in the National Football League. There are five very important games. We will talk about those throughout the duration of the show. Coming up in about 45 minutes or so, we're going to be joined by Dr. David Chow. We're going to get his thoughts on DJ Humphreys, also get his thoughts on Hollywood Brown, who has been cleared to practice. We'll see if Hollywood Brown is going to play next Saturday against the Houston Texans. Certainly not believing that he is going to play on Sunday against the Cleveland Browns. We're also going to be joined by Chico Borman. It is not Cleveland Browns week if we're not joined by Chico Borman, one of my favorite guests that we have joined the show. And also in the 4 o'clock hour, Nate Taylor is going to join us in studio. So much to get to on today's show. Again, my name is Carrington. Rob is here. We are happy to be here with you on this wonderful, wonderful Friday. It does feel like we have a weekend off from college football. I know Army and Navy play each other tomorrow. Actually looking forward to that one. Both of those teams have been two of the biggest surprises outside of the Power Four teams. So we are excited about football this weekend. Hopefully you are as well. Happy holidays to you and yours, whatever holiday you are celebrating throughout this December. All right, Rob, we'll get to football here in just a bit. But before we do any of that, let's give you a chance to win a pizza.
Pizza time on The Drive. Carrington, dial me up right now. 913-586-7965. Call number six wins a pizza from our friends over at Pizza Tasio. Pizza Tasio is Kansas City's best New York-style pizza, and they have taken over the town. They got locations all over Kansas City. I'm talking Waldo, Belton, North KC, OP, and Midtown. They also have a killer selection of craft and local beers, plus unique wine. So whether you're hungry enough for a whole pie or just want a slice or two, be sure to visit them now. PizzaTasio.com. That's pizza, TASCIO.com.
I need you guys to do me three favors. Number one, as you listen to The Drive each day right here on 96.5 The Fan. Number two, I need you to tell one friend. It'd be great if you tell two friends, but you know what? I'm not going to be picky. Just tell one friend. And number three, I want you to tell a complete random stranger happy holidays. You do all three of those things. I'll be happy. You'll be happy. We all will be happy. I want to start the show today a little bit differently than how we usually would on a Friday before a Chiefs game. It is about the Chiefs, but looking at them in a completely different way. Less than a year ago, we saw the Chiefs and the San Francisco 49ers play each other again in a Super Bowl, and it is going to go down as one of the best Super Bowl games that we have seen. This game went to overtime. It was a controversial decision to choose to get the ball first in overtime. A walk-off touchdown by Mecole Hardman. It is going to be one of the better Super Bowls in recent memory. And since then, you have seen a team that knows how to handle the ups and downs, knows how to handle the injuries, and a team that has done the exact opposite. Both of these teams have lost their starting running back this year and the depth at that position. One team has simply managed it a lot better than the other team. You then look at some of the superlatives around both teams, and it is very funny to say, but in a lot of ways, the San Francisco 49ers, even though these two teams were in the Super Bowl, even though San Francisco was the favorite in Vegas in that Super Bowl, the 49ers are the anti-Chiefs in a lot of ways. Let me give you guys a couple of stats. Did you know that Kyle Shanahan, as the head coach of the San Francisco 49ers, they are 0-40 if they trail by at least 8 points at any time in the fourth quarter? Think about some of the miraculous comebacks that we have seen from the Kansas City Chiefs. San Francisco has never won a game in which they were down double digits at any point in the fourth quarter. Now, to be fair, it is really hard to win those games. You are down multiple scores and there's not a lot of possessions left. You're telling me that you've never won once in that scenario? The Chiefs thrive in those kind of environments and those kind of situations. When you count them out or when you think that they're dead, they show you every single time that they're not dead. No, San Francisco is. That's what this stat would tell you. I've got more stats to share with you guys on this wonderful Friday. Did you know that the Niners have had 4 games this season in their division in which they have been leading into the fourth quarter? And they have lost all those games. They're the first team to do that, Rob, since the 2008 Detroit Lions. You guys remember that team. That Lions team lost every single game that season. The margin for error in the National Football League to be one of the better teams and a disappointing team is not as big as we paint it sometimes. San Francisco has had a chance to be in the conversation with the Kansas Cities, with the Buffaloes, with the Philadelphias, with the Detroits, and they have squandered it at every single turn this season. They have not won a game in which they have been down double digits in the fourth quarter. They have had 4 games this year in which they have been leading entering the fourth quarter against a team in their division, and they have lost all 4 of those games. I'm going to give you another stat about Kyle Shanahan and the San Francisco 49ers. Did you know that Kyle Shanahan, he is 19-30 in regular season games that are decided by one possession? Think about what the Chiefs have been this year in 2024. The Chiefs are 15-0 in these games. Kyle Shanahan is 19-30. That is a 38 win percentage. To put this into perspective, there are 125 coaches that have at least 40 games in this exact same scenario. Kyle Shanahan is 119th. So for a team that has all the talent in the world and coming into the season, we thought had as much talent as Kansas City. Good quarterback, best running back in the National Football League. We thought they had the best offensive line, great weapons on the outside, fantastic defense, tough division. San Francisco checked all the boxes this offseason, and we were heading into the preseason about this team. Something has been off with San Francisco all year, and when you put that up against the light against a team like Kansas City, who has been consistent and has weathered the storm every single time, to me, it really puts into perspective how hard it is to be good for as long as the Chiefs have been good. The Chiefs are not the perfect team by any means, and we can talk about left tackle or corner or wide receiver or whatever you perceive their deficiencies to be. But the fact that they have those deficiencies, continue to press forward and continue to win, you can't say that for everybody. You can't say that about San Francisco that has missed the playoffs a couple of times. San Francisco, they have recently picked in the top 5. That's how they got Joey Bosa. That's how they got him. Or Nick Bosa, excuse me. Joey's brother plays for the Chargers. That's how that happened. We got to give it up for Kansas City and how consistent they've been throughout the last 5 to 6 years and acknowledge that none of their peers have been as consistent as they have been, and certainly not anywhere close to the level that they've been. The team that's probably been the most consistent the last 6 years or so has probably been Buffalo, and we don't have to dive too deep into how the gap between Kansas City and Buffalo and how it's been over that time period, and how Buffalo has never beaten Kansas City in a game that really, really matters. Another point that I want to make about San Francisco, and we'll get more specifically to Sunday's game against the Cleveland Browns. One thing that I think is pretty noticeable about Kansas City in relation to all of the other teams in the league, think about this week. And aside from Bill Belichick, what have been the biggest stories in football? Well, the number one biggest story was the Philadelphia Eagles and the back and forth between a former player of their team, their quarterback, and their star wide receiver. It was some locker room gossip, he said, she said, back and forth, that really defined Monday through Wednesday in the National Football League.
The person that's complaining need to be accountable. And I'm just being honest. You know what I'm saying? Like, and he noticed. He, I don't know the whole story, but I know that one is trying. And, I mean, 11 could be a little better with how he responds to things. And they was friends before this. It's like, man, but things have changed. And I understand that because life happens. But we got to – it's the business side that we have to make sure that we don't let the personal get in the way of the business. And that's what we got to do better as right now, because we – no, it's an issue. Everybody's seen with some things. But we need to be able to talk things out as men. You know what I'm saying? But we need to let personal stuff go. And let's get right for this game, because, man, it's like a lot of stuff. Most of the time, it's just a conversation that just need to be had. But the person with the problem got to want to talk to the person other than others. Okay. That's all I'm saying.
I have no clue what's going on in Philadelphia's locker room. I ain't plugged into their locker room. But I do think we can say pretty definitively that that interview, that conversation would never happen in Kansas City. Andy Reid's been here, what, a decade? Tell me when they have had a story internally regarding their locker room to anything what Philadelphia has going into the final month of the regular season and one of their toughest games of the year. Football coaches tell us all the time how much they hate distractions. This time, the distraction came from within. This is friendly fire distraction. This isn't off-the-field issues. This is the talk around the National Football League is that your quarterback and your wide receiver are not on the same page and are not getting along. That never happens in Kansas City. The situation, what happened yesterday on Thursday Night Football with Devondre Campbell. I don't know what's going on with the young man, and I certainly hope that everything is fine. But we got to call it how I see it. He quit yesterday in the middle of the game. There's a lot of things you can do in the NFL and be like, man, what's going on here? You never quit. You never leave your teammates hanging. And when an injury happens and they come to you and ask you to sub into the game and you decline to sub into the game and then you walk off the field, you're done. We can't go out there on that football field again. I'm risking my life. I'm risking my health. I'm risking my well-being to go out here and play a game and stand alongside you, and you're just going to leave me high and dry? That would never happen in Kansas City. The Chiefs are not a perfect football team off the field. We have talked about some of the issues, and their star wide receiver might miss the first 4 to 6 games last week for some off-the-field incidents. They don't have these kind of storylines. Their problems usually are when they leave the facility. We don't really know too much about the problems that happen inside the facility. That is by design. And over the last 24 hours, over the course of this week, it should show you how the Chiefs have separated themselves from everybody else and how everybody else is playing catch up. The Chiefs are really good in one score games. The Chiefs are good from coming from behind in victories. The Chiefs keep their gossip on the inside. They are the only team in the NFL that is doing that at the level in which they are doing it. Coming up on the other side, Rob thinks that Sunday is a trap game. We'll let him explain. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop up to 45% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee during the Blinds.com year-end blowout. Up to 45% off now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Football fans, do you want to hear the whole unadulterated truth about where your team stands?
It's the most embarrassing film I have ever watched in my entire life.
Former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth gives his perspective on the top storylines and games on a weekly basis on the Stinkin' Truth Podcast.
You may get out of here with two sacks and a tackle for loss, but you're getting out with a bloody nose.
New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday.
It's going to be a street fight.
Make sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
All right. We got a text right now from our guy Micah. Rob and Drew both think this is a trap game. And Njoku is out. Y'all tripping. Now, I don't think that this is a trap game. But I do think that Cleveland poses some pretty interesting challenges for Kansas City. The biggest thing I'll say, and I do want to give Rob a chance to go first, is I don't know if the record is 100% indicative of who I think that Cleveland is today. Let's say that we could restart the season. And let's say that Cleveland starts Jameis Winston from the very, very beginning of the year and they don't start Deshaun Watson, basically because the contract essentially says that you have to. I don't think that Cleveland only wins three games in that scenario. Now, I don't think they're a playoff team there, so I don't want to overreact to Cleveland. Cleveland is probably closer to a 5 or 6 win team. So to put that in, I guess, context, Cleveland would be closer to Miami or Cincinnati or the Atlanta Falcons this year that have 6 wins or New Orleans that have 5 wins. I don't think that Cleveland with Jameis is a dreg of the league. I don't think that they're New England or one of those, the Giants, or a terrible team in that way. I think Cleveland is viable in some ways. So I am taking this game seriously. I think you guys have picked up from the tone that I've had towards Cleveland this week. I'm not talking about them going into Cleveland and rolling over this team, especially if the weather is going to be what we're talking about. So I disagree on a trap game part, because I don't think you can have a trap game with four games left and you were trying to clinch and wrap up the one seed. What are you looking past Cleveland for? You got 4 weeks left. Lock in, take care of your business, and then you can coast on the back end because you did the work on the front end. So I'm not subscribing to the trap game theory, but Rob, you are signed up for it.
Here's why I think it's a trap game. And maybe I'm falling into the trappings of what the media is saying and not how the team is acting. But what has been the consistent storyline around the Chiefs this week, other than the health of their left tackle? It's been this 3 games in 11 days stretch. Patrick Mahomes has commented on it. Chris Jones has commented on it. It has been the ultimate storyline in the league. The Chiefs are all about 3 games, 11 days, 3 games, 11 days. The other 2 games in this 11-day stretch are far more difficult than the one on Sunday, and will be far more taxing on the body because it's Saturday into a Wednesday. I think the Chiefs have been talking about the schedule and are potentially looking ahead to the 2 playoff teams on the schedule and could be overlooking a Browns team that, while zesty, while spicy, while more fun with Jameis Winston, which is true, are still not very good. And I feel like this has a lot of the same trappings that the Panther game did. It's noon. There's no buzz. The storyline has nothing to do with the actual football game on the football field. It's all about the stretch and the teams coming up. And the Browns, as you have said, are just feisty enough to give you a problem in Cleveland. They gave all sorts of problems to Pittsburgh when Pittsburgh was in Cleveland. They gave all sorts of problems to Baltimore when Baltimore is in Cleveland. They are a more formidable foe at home, and I worry the Chiefs are obsessed with the schedule and might be looking ahead to the actual playoff teams on their schedule.
I would give more credence to this belief if Cleveland was sort of at the end of this thing. Like, let's say you flip-flopped it, right? Let's say you played Pittsburgh first, you had Houston in the middle, and then you had Cleveland on the back half of this, where at the end of this, you're just exhausted. You're worn out. You had your bye week in week 6. You've played basically for 2.5 months with no break, and you're at the end of this really tough stretch, and you don't come out there with the necessary energy to go win a game like this. And ultimately, it doesn't matter if you win or lose this game. The Chiefs are still in pursuit of something. The Chiefs are still chasing something, and they're playing this game on their normal rest. This is not the game that has the abnormal schedule. This is a normal week for the Kansas City Chiefs. You played on Sunday last week. You had a normal Monday, Tuesday, a normal routine. Let's go to Cleveland and take care of our business on a Sunday. I'm not letting that roll, at least when it comes to this game. Sure, the Chiefs could lose to Cleveland, right? It's football. It could happen. Jameis is just squirrely enough. Myles Garrett is talented enough. Could the Chiefs lose this game? Sure, any given Sunday. I don't think it's going to be because of a trap game or the Chiefs are looking past them. If anything, I want to see the Chiefs lock into this game. They have won their last 2 games, 19-17. They have scored less than 21 points in back-to-back weeks and struggled in the red zone. I'm looking at this as an opportunity. Let's start ramping up. Let's start playing good football. Let's start playing with some momentum and get on a roll as we're starting to get some pieces back. You and I both think they're going to have Hollywood Brown back in the next week or so. We'll see what happens with DJ Humphries. Like, we are very, very close to, hey, this is the squad. Hollywood is back. Everybody is here. This is the team that you think you can go win a Super Bowl with. So I'm just personally not letting the trap game theory roll. I'd like to know what you guys think. 913-586-7965. I don't think this is a trap game. I just don't think you can have a trap game at this point in the season. There's a month left. And anything, we're not even talking about the Chiefs really having a month left. The Chiefs have probably 3 games left on the season. Why are you looking past anybody? Go take care of your business. Finish what you need to finish, and then you can get all the rest on the absolute back end of this thing.
I also think what you laid out there about help being on the way and let's just take care of your business because here comes the help. Man, I think that lends itself to the trap because everyone around the Chiefs is talking about everything except for the football game. We're talking about Hollywood Brown. His 21-day window is open. When will he get back? Will he help? How quickly will he get into the fold? Just think about the topics we have done on this radio show, Carrington. Have we done a single actual Browns topic? We had a guest on, but for six of those 12 minutes, you talked about Deshaun Watson because it's a bigger story and how much he's nasty, stinks, and the Browns got to eject on that problem. We have had Monday's an outlier because you do peek behind the curtain, you give a recap of what happened in the game previous. Tuesday through Thursday, we have talked none about the Browns. Out at media obligations, they've talked none about the Browns. They've talked about players returning, player health, this stretch, and how tough it is on the body. It is all the makings of you look past the Browns, and unlike the Panthers, who I think the Chiefs looked past, the Browns are better. And the Browns can beat you. The Panthers could have, but they're overmatched. They couldn't get it done. The Raiders could have. They're overmatched. They couldn't get it done. If you come out with that energy, which it feels like that could be coming, the Browns can, in fact, go get you. They have a Heisman Trophy winner at quarterback. They are good enough to win if the Chiefs sleepwalk, and it feels like a sleepwalk could be coming on noon Sunday after no conversation about the football on the field all week.
If the Pittsburgh Steelers game is the biggest game of the week that week in the National Football League, that means the Chiefs failed. Sure, it's going to be fun. It's on Christmas. It's Netflix. I'm not saying the Chiefs are even going to take that game off. If you drop one of these games and the conversation heading into Christmas Day is how you need to win the Steelers game to lock up the one seed, you did something wrong and you didn't take care of your own business. You have a team in Cleveland that is going to pick in the top 10. You have a team in Houston coming back to your building that you and I are a little bit down on. A team that is more banged up than you. A team that can't block. A team that can't protect its quarterback. If we are going into that game with the expectation that, hey, the Chiefs really need to win this Steelers game, that's because the Chiefs, in my opinion, didn't take care of business and didn't do what they were supposed to do in this matchup. Let's keep the Cleveland theme going. Where are you at with Jerry Jeudy? Because I ask you specifically this question, Rob, because I've been here with you these last couple of years, my dear friend, and if there is somebody that has loved the Broncos' weapons, it has been you. You love Tim Patrick. You love Cortland Sutton. For all the grief that I get about being Chargers dot, you guys don't give Rob a nearly enough for being Broncos Bobby. He has loved all the pieces for the Broncos these last couple years. Jerry Jeudy finally feels like he is starting to figure things out in Cleveland. He is top five in yards, top five in touchdowns, top five in catches this year. Jerry Jeudy seems like somebody that is starting to figure things out. Is Jerry Jeudy a player specifically going into this matchup that you're a little bit worried about?
Yes. First off, I just want to say this. I feel a little bit vindicated because all those Broncos weapons that Nathaniel Hackett and Russell Wilson couldn't make work are working other places. Cortland Sutton with a viable quarterback and a real coach looks better now. Tim Patrick, we just saw him. If he had played for Ben Johnson and Jared Goff, he'd be in the Hall of Fame. He's just a star. But, you know, his career happened the way it did. And Jerry Jeudy, since showing up in Cleveland, is the player we thought, let me rephrase that, I thought he could be.
You love Jeudy way more than I did.
I love Jerry Jeudy. Jerry Jeudy would be the best receiver on the Chiefs right now.
That ain't really saying
full
much,
stop. Jerry Jeudy is finally living up to his Alabama potential. And you know what? He is a real, real problem on Sunday for the Chiefs because he is the best skill position player on the field Sunday. He's better this year than Travis Kelce. He's better than DeAndre Hopkins. He's better than Hunt, Pacheco. He's Chubb. Jerry Jeudy is the best player on the field as an offensive skill position player on Sunday. And if you're not scared about the most talented player on the field, you're just a hater because Jerry Jeudy is good this year and deserves your fear and your attention, especially against a secondary that has been, let's be nice, leaky at best.
All right. This is where I think that Jeudy is getting a lot of credit for two massive games. A lot of credit. He played really well against the Saints. He had 6 catches for 142 yards, and he had a touchdown. And the Broncos game is one of the best wide receiver games of the year. He had 9 catches, 235 yards. He averaged 26 yards a catch, which is stupid. That's a video game number. Also had a touchdown. Aside from those two games, he just been all right. Now, those two games happen. That's not how stats work. You can't pick and choose. Those two games happen. Do you think Jerry Jeudy's getting 100 yards this week? Because if we are looking at how Cleveland can pull off the upset, right? Like, if you want to create your perfect storm scenario for the Cleveland Browns, how do they beat the best team in the league? Do you think you do it without Jerry Jeudy having one of those monster games? Who else on their offense do you really think can do it? If David Njoku is going to be out, you're not necessarily worried about any of their other wide receivers, at least not having a game that really breaks thing open. I would say if you think that the Browns can pull the upset, you were worried about three people. You were worried about Jameis having a Jameis day. You were worried about Jerry Jeudy in conjunction with the Jameis Winston day. You're also worried about Myles Garrett going up against those tackles. DJ Humphries once again didn't practice for another day, so that's 3 days this week that he didn't practice. Juwan Taylor was limited in practice, so who knows what his status and his availability is going to be, but I would expect him to try to give it a go on Sunday. If you are worried about Cleveland heading into this game, you think that those three guys are all going to have good days. I don't really see another pathway to a Browns win that doesn't really include those three individuals.
I think you're being a little unfair here at Jerry Jeudy's stats. First and foremost, you're doing that thing everyone does. Well, if you don't count those two games, he's not good. Well, those games happened. Those count. Those stats count. And also, since Jameis Winston, the best soundbite in the NFL, has become the starter, in those six games, he has 678 yards. I'll do the quick math for you on a per-game average. He averages 113 a game with crab legs at quarterback. That's what has happened since he took over.
But that's
a guy that can easily get 100 on Sunday.
All I'm saying is we can agree the average on that is completely bumped up because he had 235 yards in one game. That's why the average is a little bit skewed. It would be like if we were talking about in a run game scenario, you got 100 yards on your first carry, and then aside from those first carries, you ran for 142. Well, hold on, wait. All your success is tied up into this one really long run. I don't think it's fair to say that Jerry Jeudy has averaged 115 yards. He only has two games this season in which he's had 100 yards receiving. So you average 114. No, I'm not rolling. I'm sorry, I can't do it. He had one catch for 18 yards against the Cincinnati Bengals. I think realistically, Jerry Jeudy probably has, I'm looking at his average here, he probably has 6 catches for 70 yards. I don't think that's enough to beat Kansas City. I think you need Jeudy to be special on Sunday if you're thinking about pulling off the upset.
I just don't understand why you don't think he can be special. I mean, by the way, the Broncos game that you are continually discounting, when the Chiefs played the Broncos, the almighty Chiefs, Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, their leading wide receiver was, wait for it, a running back. So, I mean, the game counts. It has to count. It happens. By the way, the Broncos had Cortland Sutton go 6 for 70 against Trent McDuffie. I can pull what Adam Thielen did. I can pull what Trey Tucker did. The Chiefs defense against players no one's heard of outside of Cortland Sutton. No one drafted these guys in fantasy football. Have been struggling. Jerry Jeudy can easily get 100, and that is a massive thing if they're going to pull the upset. Now, if it's Monday and Jerry Jeudy went 4 for 62, then yeah, the Chiefs are going to win that game. But Jameis is capable enough, Kevin Stefanski is a good enough coach, and Jerry Jeudy is talented enough where you could easily be talking about he had 7 for 109 in a touchdown, and that is the path for the Browns to pull the upset. I'm not saying it will happen, but you acting like it couldn't happen because he just dominated one team. He dominated a team that Chiefs receivers didn't dominate. He dominated a team that had Patrick Surtain in the secondary. Patrick Surtain the second in the secondary. It wasn't like he was out there flambeing the Panthers or, ooh, he really shredded the hapless Raiders. No. He beat a playoff team like that on Monday Night Football. That has to account for something.
I want to play a couple of cuts for you guys here before we're joined by Dr. David Chow. He is going to be on the show coming up in just a bit. Here is Andy Reid talking about the left tackle situation. DJ Humphries, once again, doesn't practice.
All right. As far as guys that didn't practice today, DJ did not practice today. So And we'll just keep on with this thing and see where we end up with by Sunday. So, but the other guys worked in and did a nice job. Kind of had a little rotation going there. We'll just see where we end up.
I'm not honestly really sure what the plan is at left tackle. Like, you could tell me any one of these three things happen. Like, if we were playing, like, let's make a deal, right? Behind door number one, it's DJ Humphreys goes. I actually don't think that's going to happen. Like, if you're asking me today, and I have no knowledge, we're going to ask Nate Taylor that coming up in about 90 minutes, so I'd stick around. I don't think that DJ Humphreys is going to play. But where I would give it a little bit of maybe he could play is he ain't been practicing anyway. It's not like we're talking about a guy who has been practicing every single week and then didn't practice, and that's indicative of something. You didn't practice in all of September, all of October, and basically in November. I don't know if because you didn't practice, that means you're not going to play given the uniqueness of how you joined the team. But I don't think that DJ Humphreys is going to play. So what are the other two options? The other option would be they start Wanya Morris again. I don't think Kingsley is starting again for the Kansas City Chiefs this season. Maybe next year, maybe in 2026 we can have this conversation. I'm talking about for this upcoming year, I don't see Kingsley playing anymore for this team. So door number one is Wanya Morris starts at left tackle for this team. I would say that is the most likely potential outcome for Sunday. And then the other outcome is they move Joe Tooney around. Are they prepared to reshuffle the deck chairs that much at this point in the season? I don't know if they're willing to do it. I know they did it in a breaking case of emergency because Wanya was getting whipped. And maybe now with the opponent that you have going up against Myles Garrett, maybe the best defensive player in the league, maybe you want to help solidify those tackle positions and you put Joe Tooney over there, you put Mike Caliendo at left guard, and you go from there. I don't know how the Chiefs plan on attacking the left tackle position, and again, we'll get Nate's opinion on this thing, but that is the biggest question heading into things is what are they going to do with that position?
Maybe I'm overreading into one cut. Doesn't really sound like Andy Reid's too confident in any of the backup plans you laid out. I mean, we've been covering the Chiefs for a while, Carrington. Have you ever heard of a guy who's listed as doubtful, which the official injury report has come out, he's listed as doubtful, and Andy Reid said, well, we'll just see how that goes on Sunday, that hasn't practiced all week? He left the game Sunday with an injury, hasn't practiced once this week. We've seen video from, you know, Chiefs practice. He's walking around in a hoodie and T-shirt and, you know, beanie on, and then listed as doubtful. We'll see how it goes. I think Andy Reid's terrified of the backup plans. I mean, even Joe Tooney, I think the terror is because of who the Browns have. This isn't like, hey, we got to make it work 1 week. Joe, can you please slide out there? Can you go take care of business? We really need the best from you in this one game. Go handle it, and then we'll move back to DJ next week. This is rut-row. We have Myles Garrett because there's maybe, you remember me, the text line members? I don't remember one. When was the last time a player didn't practice all week and they were still holding out hope for him to play on Friday? Especially a guy who's played one game in his Chiefs career. Maybe Patrick Mahomes after that Browns playoff game, but that's a wildly different example. This is odd sounding from a guy who is strict on you practice, you play, you don't.
Yeah, again, maybe it's just, I don't know what to do with DJ Humphreys because the Chiefs have never had a player like this before. Think about over the course of this entire run over this dynasty. When have the Chiefs been so reliant on a player who wasn't on the team for the first half of the season? Like, we could talk about the Terrell Suggs. The Chiefs were not relying on Terrell Suggs really at all. Terrell Suggs didn't even really play for the Chiefs that year. Like, there has not been a time on any of these Super Bowl teams where in the middle of the season, the Chiefs just secured one of those spots with the guy who was just simply not in the league earlier. So this is just a very unique position. So I don't really know what case study, what historical comparison to make to Humphreys because we've just never been at this place before. Coming up on the other side, we're going to be joined by Dr. David Chow. We're going to ask him about DJ Humphreys. Also get his thoughts on Hollywood Brown, who is back practicing with the team. That's all coming up. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Let's go to the phone lines right now to be joined by Dr. David Chow. He is at Pro Football Doc on the Twitters. Dr. Chow, appreciate you hopping on today.
Oh, thank you for having me. Perfect timing. Just finished with surgery, so the timing's just right.
Absolutely. Let's get to the latest with Hollywood Brown. I'm sure a lot of people have questions about what's going on with Hollywood Brown. So this is the latest from Albert Breer. The Chiefs are opening wide receiver Hollywood Brown's practice window today, per a source. Hope that he'd be able to return this week or next, so he's right on time. The first step in getting him back into game action. Take us through the process and what is currently happening with Hollywood Brown.
Well, first of all, let's be clear that this is a very unusual injury. It's not the typical AC joint, which is an acromioclavicular injury, an injury to the collarbone joint at the shoulder side. This is at the sternum, SC joint, or on the chest side. And it's similar to what Tyreek Hill had in Kansas City years ago before going to Miami. Of course, he had a hospital procedure to reduce it, but his stayed in where he didn't need surgery and he returned. This one is unusual and is uncharted territory in the NFL. I've done this surgery before. It's not very common surgery. I'm not aware of anyone having it done in the NFL before through Sports Injury Central, and you know how we track people at SICScore.com. I haven't personally done it. I'm not aware of it being done on another player. So this is why it's a little bit uncharted waters.
So let's, I guess, maybe talk a little bit more specifically about the injury. What is your biggest worry? You mentioned that this is uncharted territory. Is this him getting hit on the shoulder and it kind of undoing everything that's happened? What is a concern with him moving forward?
Well, the concern from the start is if you dislocate your sternoclavicular joint and it somehow presses on the big vessels in your chest and the sternum and somehow tears or damages it, that's obviously very concerning. This is why sometimes and often they go to the hospital for a reduction. The concern with Hollywood Brown is apparently, as Rick Burkholzer explained, and he's an excellent athletic trainer, that it kept coming back out of place. And so they're worried if he gets hit again that it would somehow, you know, damage vessels in his chest, which is a no-go, obviously. Thus, he had the surgery. Now that he's had the surgery, and when it was first announced that he had the surgery, I think most of major media said he was done for the season. And I was like, you know, not so fast. I think he could return. And right now, obviously, he's a little bit even ahead of pace. I think he's going to look great at practice because, remember, the issue is this doesn't prevent him, and he's been doing all the drills and running and doing everything else. The question is, when can he take contact, and will this re-injure the next time he takes a big hit or someone falls on him as he goes to the turf?
Right now, we're talking to Dr. David Chow. He is at Pro Football Doc on Twitter, just trying to learn a little bit more about Hollywood Brown as he is scheduled to practice again for the Kansas City Chiefs. Dr. Chow, just based on how the Chiefs usually handle these things, I'm thinking that Hollywood obviously doesn't play this week. I would say he's a question to play next week against the Houston Texans, but I'm looking at the game against the Steelers maybe as his return date. It just doesn't seem realistic to me for any player that you're basically not going to play in the regular season, not practice, not do any of those things, and then show up for the postseason kind of ready to roll here. I think it's really important that Hollywood play in a couple of regular season games.
Well, I think it's important that he play because, you know, you got to get into the flow of this year's offense, right? I know Andy Reid is great, and you always got Patrick Mahomes as a guy who can get the ball to anybody. But, yeah, you do need to play. You need to get into playing shape, and you need to work through muscle acclimation injuries because this really is the start of his season. Look, I think it's probably a long shot that he plays this week, although not impossible. I think next week is probably the target, but he's not going to go and run 70 routes his first time out, right? He's going to get worked into the system over the next few weeks. And the good news is he's going to be ready to go well ahead of the playoffs. And that is obviously a good sign for the Chiefs.
We had another doctor on earlier in the year, and he basically just said, aside from this shoulder, he's perfectly fine. So right now, it is more of a confidence in his arm and really a conditioning thing more than anything. There was nothing else, I guess, quote, wrong with Hollywood.
Well, I think Hollywood would tell you that he feels great. And, and he's in early season form in terms of his body isn't beat up, et cetera. I expect there to be video of him performing very well at practice. There isn't going to be any limitation on his shoulder at all. The worry is, what happens if he gets tackled by two other players and gets landed on? That's the concern that, you know, you need to have. He's been cleared by the doctor, so hopefully he's good to go.
Right now, we're getting a little bit more information from Dr. David Chow. There's a couple more questions here. Let's talk about DJ Humphreys. It looks like he's doubtful with a hamstring injury. Is this just a regular routine run-of-the-mill hamstring injury, or is this in any way kind of related to the ACL tear that he was coming back from and just not being in, quote, football shape?
Well, you know, it depends on what you call related. Is it directly related to the ACL? No. Is it indirectly related to the ACL? Maybe, based on compensation. Left knee, obviously the Chiefs need help in tackle. You guys all know that. And they brought in DJ Humphreys. But last week was week one of his season. And we know early season, and this is why you have a training camp. This is really his first, quote, preseason game, if you really want to talk about it that way. You tend to potentially get early season muscle acclimation injuries, and I would put this hamstring into that category. And how severe is it? I don't know. I haven't seen the MRI. But part of it is the team's desire to get him back and get him ramped up, and unfortunately, this happened. It happens not uncommonly among the 53 players, but I don't think this is a setback to his ACL. And I would think that he projects, once again, to get better well ahead of the playoffs. The question is when. I don't think this week is realistic. Probably not next week either. But if he can get some continuity with that offensive line ahead of the playoffs, that would be a huge plus.
Dr. Chow, based on what you described, is that also a concern for Hollywood Brown and Steven Nelson? Because these are two guys who are coming in cold, so to speak, as well. Could they be susceptible to the same kind of injury?
Any athlete can be, but, when you're playing left tackle, you're a little more prone to, you know, you have to react to the defense. Whereas, you know, let's say Hollywood Brown, he can sort of dictate where his routes are going. So there's a little bit of a benefit for Hollywood Brown. Obviously, Nelson is a different story as well.
I guess last question here is related to Harrison Butker. It looks like he is now back to practicing as well, getting off the injured reserve. Do you think his knee injury is going to have any long-term effects? The Chiefs have won a lot of games either by them kicking a field goal or blocking another field goal, so special teams is obviously going to be important heading into the postseason.
No question about it. Obviously, Harrison Butker has been great for the Chiefs, very clutch. And I don't think this knee injury is significant to the point where he's not going to return. He's definitely going to return. The one caveat is, as a kicker, there's only – well, I guess you guys have Justin Reed, so technically you guys have two. But most teams only have one kicker. And if the kicker isn't 100%, it's very difficult to go into an active roster with one kicker without a backup, right? And – you know, you saw what happened to the Giants and Graham Gano earlier this year when they went into a game where he wasn't 100%. He got hurt on the opening kickoff, and they lost that game because they didn't have a field goal kicker. Now, the Chiefs are smarter than that. They're not going to do that if he's not ready to go. And maybe they have the luxury of having Justin Reed being able to do a little bit here and there if Butker or something happened to him in game. But I still anticipate the Chiefs will be cautious.
That is Dr. David Chow joining us on the show today. He was a former NFL team doctor for 17 years. You can also follow him on Twitter at ProFootballDoc. Just keeping us updated on all the injury news for Kansas City as they head into the final month of regular season games as they prepare for the postseason. Dr. Chow, happy holidays. Thanks a lot for popping on today.
Absolutely, and I root for the Chiefs because my son, he's now 12. His favorite player is, of course, Patrick Mahomes, which a young boy isn't. And so he roots hard for the Chiefs, so I have a penchant to root for the Chiefs as well. We actually went to the Super Bowl against the Eagles the year before in Phoenix.
Well, look at that. I mean, you know, that's how you start a young fan. He's a Chiefs fan. He got to go to a Super Bowl, and he saw a pretty dynamic game.
Oh, yeah, it was great. He's a big-time Chiefs fan. You know, he's got the Chiefs gear and whatever. And, you know, San Diego, we lost our football team. And so, you know, he doesn't mind Justin Herbert, but, you know, Patrick Mahomes is his favorite. And he started when he was like 8 or 9 loving Patrick Mahomes. And what little boy doesn't love Patrick Mahomes, huh?
Absolutely. That is Dr. David Chow joining us on the show. Thanks, Doc.
Thank you.
Absolutely. That's Dr. David Chow joining us on the show today. Look at Patrick Mahomes, man, bringing people together to support Kansas City. All right, coming up on the other side, I am a little bit worried about Cleveland. I'll tell you why. Keep it right here, Sir Drive.